How's everyone doing? That was good, right? I love the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay. So, how many of you guys were here last week? Like five of you? Not a ton of you? Okay. Earlier, I forgot that Abigail wasn't here last week, and I like was asking her questions about stuff that happened, and she's like, why don't I remember last week? She's like, I don't remember anything that happened last week. And it took her like a good several minutes to realize she wasn't here. So for those of you who were not here last week, I just talked about love versus fear. I was preaching kind of from my heart and what God has been saying to me in terms of the culture around us and just, hi, Travis. And just stuff that's happening, not even just in our personal lives, but on a national level and a global scale, like there's just so much fear. And so I was just kind of preaching what our response gets to be to that fear, right? Like as Christians, we have the love that dispels that fear. So anyway, was still kind of meditating on that all week long, and I went to see the movie Moana for the second time this week. How many of you guys have seen that movie? What, like four people? Okay. So the rest of you have homework this week. I'm just kind of kidding. But for real, no, I love that movie. And something in that movie, I'm not going to be Alberto. I'm not going to like preach the gospel according to that movie. But there was something in that movie that really struck a chord in my heart this week, and I kind of want to touch on that. So I'm not going to give anything away, no spoilers. But in the movie, I thought you were waving at me. What? Oh. In the movie, there is what is called, so for those of you, I'm gonna sum it up. So it's Polynesian based in terms of history and culture. and so there's a lot of like, you know, stuff that I kind of ended up going and looking up and learning about that, which is cool. But they have what's called wayfinders. And Moana becomes a wayfinder, and she realizes that her people, for many, you know, her ancestors were in fact wayfinders, and that was kept from her for a series, like for the beginning of the movie. And so when she discovers that she's a wayfinder, that, you know, that her people were voyagers, there's a process to her learning how to do that, right? Like she wasn't raised doing that. That was actually kept from her. And so when she finds out that that's who her people are, she has to go through a process to learn what it means to become a wayfinder, a voyager. And so that struck a chord with me because I really believe that in a sense, that's what we're called to do as Christians. We're called to be wayfinders. And these voyagers were people who, tribes of people who were leaving the Pacific island that they were on, and they were building these like amazing, massive boats, right? This is outside of the movie and inside of the movie, just so you know, the history behind it. They would build these massive boats, and they would just set sail, and they would use the stars and the currents and just straight up skill to find their way to other South Pacific islands. And hey, how's it going? So as Christians, you know, and I'm in my heart as I was watching this movie, I'm like feeling all these parallels. As Christians, we live in a world that says like the situations or the fear is really scary. Like that's there's no way through that. The ocean, the monsters in the ocean, the unknown, the unpredictable is fearful. But there had to be people who had the adventure in their hearts and the confidence in their skill and their understanding of the ocean and the patterns of the waves and the stars who said, I know it's scary. I don't know what it's going to look like, but I'm not just going to stay here on this island. I'm going to go, and we're going to find other islands, and we're going to make homes in other places. And as Christians, I was like, okay, so we do that spiritually by looking at fear and looking at situations where the world says there's just no way, or there's so much unknown, there's so much we don't understand, or there's so much uncertainty, and we get to go. I know it's scary, and there is a lot of unknown, but what I do know is the Holy Spirit. We are born of the Spirit, right? Born again. When Jesus is describing to Nicodemus what it means to be born again, he talks about the Spirit and people born of the Spirit and how the wind, we don't know where it comes from or where it's going, right? And that's how people are who are born of the Spirit. We don't always know where it's coming from or where it's going, but it's a process of learning the temperature of the water and the stars in the sky and the currents and the wind and where it takes the current. And it's a process of learning those things and being in partnership with the Holy Spirit that makes us skilled wayfinders through every situation in life. So I want to read a scripture verse. I printed this out, and it printed on this like front and back side, which is not what I wanted. So if you see me flipping back and forth, that's why. I'm doing it begrudgingly. Take two. All right. I'm going to read from Philippians 4. Did someone say wait? Oh. I was like, is that the Spirit? Philippians 4. We're going to start in verse 4. I'm reading from the Amplified, so I've got a lot more words than you probably do. So bear with me. All right. Rejoice in the Lord always. Delight and take pleasure in him. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit, your graciousness, unselfishness, mercy, tolerance, and patience be known to all people. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious or worried about anything, but in everything, every circumstance and situations, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, continue to make your requests known to God. And the peace of God, that peace which reassures the heart, that peace which transcends all understanding, that peace which stands guard over your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus is yours. Verse 8, finally, believers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable and worthy of respect, whatever is right and confirmed by God's word, whatever is pure and wholesome, whatever is lovely and brings peace, whatever is admirable and of good repute, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think continually on these things. Center your mind on them and implant them into your heart. Center your mind on them and implant them into your heart. The things which you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things in daily life, and the God who is the source of peace will be with you. That's really intense and amazing. I feel like there's so much in those verses, and I'm going to come back to them as I talk. But I love that, and the peace of God, and the peace which reassures your heart, and it transcends understanding, is yours in Christ Jesus. So we're given that verse, right? And have you ever, like, I'm trying to think, what flows from us is important, right? Because it's a sign of what's filling us. Have you ever, like, had a really awful day? Or actually, you're around somebody who had a really awful day. You're fine. Your spouse comes home, your roommate comes home, whatever. They've had a horrible day. And you know it the moment they walk in the house. Like, they don't even have to tell you. You just know it. The atmosphere changes. Like, the feeling in the room shifts, you know. Like, they set something down in a certain way. You know, maybe they throw their keys on the table, and it's like you just know. What? It's natural that we exude what is filling us. And so when we have that really awful day and all that we've been meditating on and all that's been consuming us is like stress at work and this thing didn't go right and then this happened, we're going to exude that to the people and the situations around us. Thank God the opposite is also true. because that's the reality of the kingdom, right? Is that when we meditate on these lovely things, when we meditate on these praiseworthy things, when we map his faithfulness like the stars, that comes out of us as well. And it changes the circumstances and the situations around us in the same regard that it happens negatively, right? Like that part sucks usually. And we're learning, right? We're not like always perfect. We're learning how to be wayfinders. But so just really considering that every situation that Philippians 4 referring to, every circumstance and situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, making your requests known to God. So in the Greek, every means every. I'm just kidding. That's such a lame joke. I hate it when pastors make that joke. I can't believe I just did that. All right. So every situation, every circumstance around us, right? There's no exceptions here. And like, even as I say that, sometimes I'm like, that's not fair. Like, I want an exception, you know, like maybe Paul wasn't thinking about how bad I was going to have it. You know, like there are just these moments where you're like, you don't want to accept, but it's every situation. In every circumstance that we are to bring to him in prayer and thanksgiving and make our requests known to him and then have the peace of God guard and protect our hearts. Every situation. So is your, the question, like the question I have to ask myself and the question that all of you have to ask, because I'm not going to be alone in this conviction, is your graciousness and your mercy and your patience what is known to all people, right? Like, that's a big, right? Like, this is verse 5. Let your gentle spirit, your graciousness, unselfishness, mercy, and patience, tolerance and patience be known to all people. The Lord is near. So I really had to ask, like, I had to confront my heart with that and be like, is that what people know about Christians? Is that what people know about me? And all people is really big. So let's just narrow it down. Is that what people on your Facebook know? Is that what people you disagree with know? Is that what your family knows about you? Like, the answer for me is not always yes. But that challenges me to try harder, to learn, to draw closer to the Lord in thanksgiving and in prayer in those moments in every situation, right? It challenges me to go, okay, in what area? I love that she walks on her. Okay. All right, distraction. Anyway, so there are going to be circumstances and situations we all face, and we face them daily, that say there's no way. There's no fixing this. There's no redeeming this, right? Even now as I say that, I can feel the weight of, like, in my newsfeed, things that I've seen in the last couple months. Politically, on either side, I can feel the weight of, like, there's no way. There's no way through this. There's no way to redeem this. There's no peace in this. The world will tell us that. The enemy will tell us that. The voice in our own head will tell us that. Systems that are in place will tell us that there's no way. Cancer will tell us that there's no way. But the Holy Spirit, who is teaching us to be wayfinders, says that there is a way. Jesus Christ made a way, and he has made you and I wayfinders. He has given us authority to find the way, to make the way of peace in ourselves, and that's going to flow out of us. The kingdom, that's the way the kingdom works, right? Like, we bring it with us. We carry it with us. And so if we bring kingdom reality to a circumstance and a situation, because we know who we are and we know who the Holy Spirit is, and we've studied his faithfulness, and we've learned the way that the wind blows, and we know his heart and how he feels about situations and circumstances, we get to bring the kingdom reality to the people and their lives around us. How good is that? Like, I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful. And yes, I can admit and humble myself and know and challenge my heart for the moments where I'm not doing it well. Like, for real, guys. But I'm not going to sit in the place of shame, and it's not what the Lord wants. He doesn't want us to sit in the place of self-condemnation. He wants us to go, hey, in this circumstance, I didn't bring peace. I didn't meditate on your faithfulness. I was not concerned about what's lovely or praiseworthy. So next time, I'm going to know better. And I'm going to bring something different to that circumstance. I'm going to bring something different to that person in my life. I'm going to present something different. Amen. That's good. So good. All right. And then the other thing that I really felt that I felt like comes with this, because some of you maybe know, and if you don't know, I'm just going to lay it all out there. Any time that we talk about faith, there's this really intense part of me. I have struggled with doubt my entire life. Like when it comes to believing in miracles, guys, sometimes there's a part of me that's like, I don't know about this. And I don't know. Like, I cast it out over and over again, you know? Like, that's not a part of my flesh that I indulge. I call it a lie. I call it what it is. Sometimes it's fear. But it's there, and it's a reality. And I'm going to tell you something that fuels it. I don't know if you struggle with that. Does anyone else struggle with doubt? Yeah? Okay. Do you believe in miracles? Do you believe that God of the Bible is who he is, and that's today as well as 2,000 years ago, and he can still raise people from the dead, and he can still do the impossible, right? Amen. But sometimes there's that voice inside of us, right, that says it's not going to happen, that says there's no way. And let me tell you what fuels that voice for me. Not believing what is true and honorable and worthy of respect. It's meditating on the disappointments that come my way. It really is. And I'm not saying that God doesn't want us to address our disappointment. Honestly, and there is disappointment. Like, we need to be real about that. There was a time in life where it was easier for me to not even consider miracles. It was easier to just believe that, like, that was never going to happen. I was never going to see that. It's not going to happen, because disappointment doesn't come then. We don't have to face disappointment when we don't expect it, right? Like, when we don't understand what God desires and what he's capable of, and we don't understand what we carry, and we don't expect anything. We don't expect him to be a good father and to perform miracles in our lives and to do the impossible and to make a way. When we don't have that expectation, disappointment doesn't come. And that's almost easier. But it's not the kingdom. And so if we want the kingdom, and if we want all of who Christ is, then we have to face that there is disappointment. And it's not that he doesn't want us to address that disappointment in life and to deal with that disappointment. And I wish there were an easy way to do that. Because believe me, I have cried my eyes out. I have been angry with him. I have tried to figure out things in my own heart, and I've asked the question why as I face disappointment. So there's no easy way to address that in our lives other than just to bring it to him over and over and over again, and not to hide it from him and not to live in the shame of it. But it's when we focus on that disappointment, it's when we focus on the tally that says, last time you didn't come through, and I don't know what to do with that. It's when we hold on to that, that we are not finding a way. We're not going to get through that And so if we want to bring the kingdom reality, it comes with whatever is true and honorable and worthy of respect and right and confirmed by God's word. And guys, that's really important. What is confirmed by God's word? We have to know the word of God. We have to know it. I have to know that God's word says he desires to heal all people and that by his stripes we are healed. Because when someone in my life is not healed, I need the word of God to remind me that it's his heart, that it's his desire, that it's his power and his glory to do those things. And so we have to know what the word of God says. We have to know that the word of God says that we have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control at our fingertips because we are filled with the Holy Spirit. We have to know that because when we're faced with the world that says there's no joy, there's no love, you don't have to be gentle, get angry. When we're faced with those moments, we got to know God's word. Whatever is pure and wholesome, whatever is lovely and brings peace, whatever is admirable and of good repute, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think continually on these things. Continually on these things. Center your mind on them and implant them in your heart. Because the moment's going to come. Every day, every week, every month, the moment comes, sometimes in the very small day-to-day things, and sometimes in the really big, your marriage is possibly ending, your friend is possibly dying, something says there's no way through this. And when that comes, if you have centered your mind on these things, and if you have implanted them in your heart, and if you know what the Word of God says, and who he is, and if you've mapped the stars, and if you know his heart, and the temperature of the water, and where the current's going, there is a way because of Jesus Christ. There is a way. There's always a way, guys. So that's really all that I wanted to say tonight. But one of the things I want to do before we close is I'm going to have you guys pair up with somebody. And I want you to consider something in your life, a situation or a relationship or something that's gone on in your heart where you feel like there's no way. And maybe you don't feel like that right now, but maybe every now and then the wave comes and it tells you there's no way through this. There's no way for this to turn out in your favor. There's no way for God to redeem this. This just sucks. And I want you to... You don't have to give details as much as you're comfortable. Present that situation to the partner, to the person you're sitting with. And I want us to pray for one another. And I want us to pray for one another in the place of authority, because sometimes we need someone on the outside who's not in the midst of the situation with us, right? Like, we need somebody sometimes who's not dealing with the same disappointments that we're dealing with, who's not dealing with the anger, who's not dealing with the voices. We need that person on the outside to go, I'll stand in authority with you, and I'm going to say there is a way. And we're going to ask God to show us the way through those situations. We're going to ask him to be the God of breakthrough, to be the God of solutions, because it's who he is. So go ahead and pair up, and we'll just spend probably the next 10 minutes praying for one another, and then I'll come up here and I'll close in prayer.